We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us again now and guide us as we penetrate deeper and deeper into the word which you've given us in the book of Hebrews. I pray that our hearts may be comforted this morning as you encourage us to hang in there and remain faithful unto the very end, knowing that if we're faithful unto death, we will receive the crown of life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to begin by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us live by the speaker phones, and also those who will be receiving CDs of the sermons in the coming weeks. A service this morning is coming from our home here in the outskirts of beautiful Coon Valley, Wisconsin. And we'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with us here at Water of Life to Hebrews chapter 10. We're looking at verse 23, which in the King James Version reads this way. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. In other words, three little words. Hang in there. To kind of set the stage, a parable. Luke 15, beginning at verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. You know the story very well. Younger son who couldn't wait for his father to die, but wanted the inheritance like now. So his father gave him the inheritance, and he left the house. He wanted to get out of there as fast as he could and go as far away as he could. And so he moved away into a far country. This has ramifications. Later on, when by the grace of God he came to his senses and he wanted to go back home, by virtue of the fact that he had moved away into a far country, now he had a far journey to go back. It was to be a very, very difficult one. And this is your story and mine. Our journey back home calls for perseverance. Hold fast the profession of our faith. Hang in there. Now, the profession of our faith, what actually is that? Well, it's the acknowledgement that we are children of God and followers of Jesus Christ, and he is our Lord and Savior. And this shows itself in different ways. For one thing, the person who confesses to be a Christian and professes to be one, turns away from the devil, the world, and his flesh, and he lives for Jesus Christ. Not to please himself, but to be obedient to the Lord and Savior. And that's always the progression. It's never Savior and Lord, it's always Lord and Savior. He turns away from his own righteousness and will, and receives Jesus Christ as his prophet, his priest, and his king. What does that mean? Well, if Jesus is my prophet, that means he instructs me in the will of God. If he is my priest, he meets God's claims for me, the perfect life, the forgiveness of sins. And if he's my king, then he governs me. A profession of faith means that we hate sin and desire to be delivered from its penalty and from its power. The sins that we used to love to wallow in so much, now we hate. And even though we daily find ourselves falling into sin, we hate it. We hate sin. And we're struggling to be able to live without sin, which Finally, one day the Holy Spirit will give us at the resurrection day, but not before. Romans 7 here. Another thing, a profession of faith means you agree to throw down your weapons of warfare against God and you surrender to Him. Thy will be done, not mine. It's a preparation to deny yourself. Take up your cross every day and follow Christ. That's the qualification of discipleship. Whoever will be my disciple, let him deny himself, which goes against every bone in your body and mine. Take up his cross every day, which again goes against our bones, and follow him. He'll lead us to places where we don't want to go, but we follow anyway. Now, no one acknowledging to be a Christian is scripturally entitled to be regarded as one unless he meets all these requirements. And this too is by the grace of God. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. So our eternal condition of our soul depends upon this. We're talking about very serious things here that have serious consequences. And the Holy Spirit now is encouraging us. We're past the doctrinal part of the epistle. Now comes the encouraging mixed with some warnings, which all of us need. The Holy Spirit does this by declaring the means whereof we can obey the commands of God. How does the Holy Spirit work in us? That's it. It's through the means of grace. Baptism, the Lord's Supper, the Holy Scriptures. That's how the Holy Spirit works. Now, he could choose to work otherwise, but this is the way he has chosen to work. And that's why we meditate upon the Word of God day and night. That's why we baptize our little children. That's why we frequently partake of the Lord's Supper. This is how the Holy Spirit works. He also warns us here in Hebrews about the eternal destruction that awaits those who don't do it God's way. And then he's also in chapter 11 going to give us one example after another of people who did make it, people who by the grace of God overcame all these difficulties. And if they did it, you and I can do it because they're no better than we were. Okay. Let us hold fast. To hold fast means to continue and press forward along the race that we are running as we profess to be children of God. And the race calls for endurance. It's not a 50-yard dash. It's more like a cross-country race. We're going to have to run this race until the very day that we die. There are no vacations in it. It's a 24/7 thing. Our safety depends on this. The fisherman warns us about this, and he knows what he's talking about. He lived through some of this stuff. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. And this does happen. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. There are degrees of punishment in hell. And the people of Sodom and Gomorrah are going to be a lot better off down in hell than those who have seen the light of the gospel and been partakers of the Holy Spirit and then throw it away. That's the worst. It's one thing to make a confession of our faith. It's quite another to hold fast to it. Many, many people make profession of faith. Very few stick it out to the end and hold fast to it. And this is what we're called upon to do. Hold fast. there are at least three inferences in this term, as the Holy Spirit tells us to hold fast. One inference is this, that there is a great difficulty for us here, with danger and opposition, strong opposition, trying to keep us from holding fast a profession of our faith. If you wouldn't give us this encouragement, if there weren't enemies out there, if there weren't a danger, we wouldn't need it. But there is a danger. It is extremely difficult what you and I are being asked to do. And another inference is this, that it's going to take all the strength we've got to do it. We've got to enter into this thing 100%. It can't be partial. And another is that there's got to be a perseverance in it. We've got to keep at it. And this is all very, very, very difficult. It's difficult because we have three powerful enemies, and you know very well what they are. First of all, there's the devil, the one that was a liar from the beginning. Ye shall not surely die, and twists and turns the word of God. There's him who walketh about as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. He's after us every single day. Then there's the world that we're living in, which is called a great and terrible wilderness, because that's exactly what it is. There are dangers every single day that we face. Sometimes we're blissfully unaware of it, but they're there. And that's why Christ says, take no thought for the morrow. The morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You've got enough evil around you today without worrying about tomorrow. And then finally, the worst enemy we've got is our own sinful flesh, which we're living with. We can't get away from it. And the old man is struggling against the new man. The old Adam struggling against the new Adam. The flesh struggling against the spirit, trying to hold us down. And time after time after time, the flesh wins out. Read Romans chapter 7. So these three powerful enemies we've got, and it's extremely difficult to be able to hold fast to the profession of our faith. And we finally, the more you understand of this, the more you come to this. Who then can be saved? That's what the disciples finally asked Jesus. It's impossible. He said, well, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And that's finally where we end up. Now, the truth of the matter is that our rule of faith is Scripture, not logic, not our human reason. And when you're studying Scripture, you've got to be aware of what we call the analogy of faith, which is all the teachings of Scripture. And you can't be aware of this unless you're in it every day. You can't be. And when you come across difficult passages, you interpret them in view of the analogy of faith. And you can do that because the Holy Spirit has inspired Scripture, and he's not going to contradict himself. He's not going to say one thing in one place and another thing in another place, like you run across in human writings all the time. If he seems to contradict himself, and that's going to happen quite often, we've got to study and pray for his guidance, and compare everything with the analogy of faith, and don't draw any conclusions that would be going against the clearer commands of God. Now, there are contradictions in Scripture that are seeming contradictions, and one of them we're looking at right now. People are saying, well, you know, if God tells you you've got to hold fast a profession of your faith or you're not going to make it, that's something you're doing. And that's works. It's not of God. It's not grace. No, it is not of works. And yes, it is of grace. And anybody who's in Scripture under the guidance of the Holy Spirit understands that. There aren't contradictions here. The fact of the matter is it's the Holy Spirit who gives us the will to hold fast. It's all of him. But you look at Scripture and you say, We're supposed to be sorrowful and yet always rejoicing. Well, how can that be? Well, you and I know how that can be. Humanly speaking, it sounds like a contradiction. If you're sorrowful, you can't be rejoicing. If you're rejoicing, you can't be sorrowful. In Scripture, oh, yes, you can. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. That's in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10. Christ says we're free, and yet he says take his yoke upon us. Well, that sounds contradictory, doesn't it? It is not. Human reason, yeah, it contradicts. According to Scripture, no, it does not. Scripture teaches both things. Rejoice with trembling. Well, that seems contradictory, doesn't it? It is not. We're supposed to always be rejoicing, and yet we're supposed to always be trembling at the same time. The point of the thing is that we're getting at, you study Scripture every single day, and you pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be all right. It's that simple. And it's not you that's doing it either, by the way. It's God that's working in you and the Holy Spirit. A little word study here, just a little bit. Hold fast. The word is used in Luke 8, verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, hold it fast, and bring forth fruit with patience. The patience is one of the gifts of God that we've got to have, and it's maybe the hardest and most difficult one for us. But we've got to have patience if we're going to hold fast the word of God and the profession of our faith. So the two things keep going together. We know the devil tries to take the word away. You know the parable, sower and the seed. There were four types of ground. Only one type brought forth fruit by the grace of God, and that's the ones that kept the word of God. 1 Corinthians 15:2, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory. That's the same word as hold fast. Keep in memory. Remember it. Don't just forget it. Remember it. Meditate upon it. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Hold fast. Hang on to it. Don't let go. And we've had this word a couple times already in Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 6. But Christ has a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope unto the end. We know very well from the book of Hebrews that there are those who have a good start, and they're partakers of the Holy Ghost, and they've tasted the powers of the world to come. But they fall away. They didn't hold it fast. They didn't persevere unto the end. We don't want to be like them. Hebrews 3, verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. So, here at Water of Life, I used to say, none of us have remained faithful unto death yet. Well, now one of us has, but the rest of us haven't. This is still ahead of us. Okay, hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. I believe the word wavering is a one-time occurrence. King James translates another word, wavering, in James. It's not the same Greek word, but it has something to say to us. James 1, verses 6, 7, and 8. But let him ask in faith nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So we've got to really believe what we're saying. We pray some, believe that God is hearing it and he's going to answer it. And of course, none of us have this perfect faith. Our prayer should be the prayer of the father who is praying for his child. When Jesus said, do you believe I'm able to do this? He said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And so you and I right now are a curious mixture of light and darkness, just like it was on the first day of creation. The darkness and the light were somehow mingled together. God saw the light that it was good. And then finally, God separated the light from the darkness. And that's going to happen for all of us at the resurrection day. But it's not going to happen before. For your encouragement, and this is not an easy thing. It's a very, very difficult thing to hold fast a profession of our faith. There's a lot of suffering that we're going to go through as we're trying to go back home, because through Adam we moved away to a far country, and it's a long way back home. And there are a lot of dangers and temptations and a lot of crosses to carry as we do that. And sometimes the dark clouds are going to be hanging so heavily overhead that we're not going to be able to see the sunlight. But there's one passage that helps us an awful lot. And I'm taking you back right now to the children of Israel as they encamped by the shores of the Red Sea, right after they had been delivered by God from the power of Pharaoh down in Egypt. And there were 10 plagues down there, as you know. And the 10th one was the death of the firstborn, man and beast, throughout all the land of Egypt. It finally knocked Pharaoh down to his knees, and he gave up, let the children of Israel go. But he had second thoughts after that, and he gathered his powerful, powerful army together and followed them, and he found them encamped by the Red Sea, and they had no way of escape. The darkness of night set in, and in the morning the children of Israel saw a pathway through the waters of the Red Sea, and they escaped through it. When Pharaoh and his army followed, the waters came together and destroyed them all. The passage I'm referring to right now is in Exodus chapter 14, verse 21. The Lord caused the sea to go back with an east wind. Now, three little words: all that night. And you stop to think about that a little bit. God is a God of light, and the devil is a God of darkness. And the children of God walk in the light, and the children of the devil walk in darkness. And a lot of times, the wickedness that they do is done in secret under the darkness of night. But they don't have the whole playing field to themselves. Because even though God is a God of light, God also works in the darkness. And here he worked in the darkness. While the children of Israel were sleeping, God was out there working all that night. And he was causing the waters of the Red Sea to part all that night. And so the next morning, when the children of Israel looked and the waters were parted, it didn't happen in the morning. It happened during the night. They just didn't know it. It only became evident to them then when the sun started to shine the next day. But it was God working all that night. And remember this, that when you and I are carrying a very heavy cross and we're in the darkness of night, remember this. God is working all that night. He's accomplishing something. You may not know what it is. I may not know what it is. But we know it is happening. The Lord is going to cause the sea to go back for you all that night. And so the darkness is not your enemy. The darkness is your friend. Because God is working in it. And that's why we can call him the God who giveth songs in the night. This is the thing that enables us to hold fast, knowing this, that we have a God who's in control of every single thing that happens. There are no accidents in your life or mine. It's all held in the hand of the Father. The promise is that it's all working together for your good, and it's all working together for you in the very best way. That's the promise. Often we can't see that, But we can still believe it. As Hebrews 11 is going to tell us, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we know what God has told us. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways than your ways. So even though the darkness seems to be our enemy, it is not. Because our God is working all the way through the night. This is why we can hold fast the profession of our faith. For he is faithful that promised. And this is the key to for all of us. You have to go back to the precious, precious promises of God. And most of these promises will not be kept until the resurrection day. Some of them will, but most of them will not. And so before we question God, let's wait and see how it all turns out. And let's test him and see if at the last day he was lying. Or if he really was the God of truth like he says he is, that every single promise that he's given us is going to be kept. That's the kind of God we worship. And since God is so faithful to us, we should find it easy to be faithful to him. I'm thinking now of, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to have come short of it. That's in Hebrews 4, verse 1, 6, verse 15. And so after he had patiently endured, Abraham obtained the promise. If you read the epistle to the Hebrews very carefully, I believe you will find out this. That salvation, your salvation is and mine, is always viewed as a future thing. It's not something we have already. It's viewed as a future thing, a future event. And this is very important to understanding the epistle to the Hebrews, especially the warnings we get and the promises that we get. Whoever wrote the epistle to the Hebrews, and we know it was from the Holy Spirit, humanly speaking, I believe it was Paul. I don't think there's any question about that. But you heard in the reading today from 2 Corinthians how many things he suffered. Well, his story is your story and mine one way or the other. We've got to hold this thing fast. But our life in this epistle of the Hebrews is viewed as being in the great and terrible wilderness. We've left Egypt like the children of Israel did. We're going toward the promised land like they were. But in between the deliverance from Egypt and the entering of the promised land is this great and terrible wilderness, and that's where you and I find ourselves. So we've got to hang in there and be faithful, and God will do this for us. The point is you never know how long you're going to have to run the race. You may not only have to take one more step. You may only have to be faithful one more day, not 10 years, 20 years, maybe only one more day. We don't know that. But the end may be a lot closer than what we think it is. And one of the tricks here is to live one day at a time. That's the way the Heavenly Father told us. And the Son told us that. Live one day at a time. And you and I can do that. I'm going to end the sermon with a little poem that I ran across. I don't even know who wrote it. But the title of it is Don't Quit. Don't Quit. Hold fast a profession of your faith. Poem goes like this. It's in the bulletin. When things are going wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but never quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, And every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Our goal is often the goal is nearer than it seems to faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the knight slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the cloud of doubt. And you can never tell how close you are. It may be nearer when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worst that you mustn't quit. And the Holy Spirit will carry us through. We'll end with a prayer. Holy Spirit, the race which we are running is a very difficult one. It's a long one, and it's uphill just about all the way. But our course has been laid out by our Heavenly Father, and you have promised to keep us through to the very end. And so we ask that you give us an unwavering heart, and that we cling to the promises, one of the precious promises being from the words of our Savior, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? We're asking.